Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
And you're about to get jumped.
Welcome to episode 112 of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you still totally watch the anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we're watching Yu Yu Hakusho episodes 9 through 13, where the death of humanity is less important than a 3-day weekend, video games can reveal your inner strength, and accidents save lives.
Yeah, haven't you ever heard that when you get into a horrible, debilitating accident, what you're really doing is helping out all of those people that could have had those accidents, because there's a finite number of accidents that can happen every day, and if one happens to you, you're taking it away from someone else. That's how physics works.
Right. I forgot you were a physics master.
Let's jump in.
I try to limit the amount of politics that I discuss on our show, but that your intro joke reminded me of the fact that, like, Donald Trump literally believes that there's a finite amount of energy that you have for your entire life, and that you can, like, use it up faster if you do certain things, and that is just some bonkers shit.
Yeah, that's weird.
It is super weird. Also, we're talking about Yu Yu Hakusho, and I'm really excited about next Yu Yu Hakusho episode because I had started watching Yu Yu Hakusho on my own before I ended up getting into our rotation for this podcast, and I was in the middle of I was at the very beginning of the next arc, so we will start to watch episodes that I have not seen before next time, and I'm really excited. But I was also pleasantly surprised at how much I enjoyed rewatching these episodes.
Yeah, these episodes were great. Before we get started, though, I have a couple of things to go over. Cool. The first one is I had a quick update from one of our people that talks to us on Twitter.
Nice.
David wrote in and said, just something cool you guys might like to know. Norio Matsumoto is a special animator that is brought in to do the super high quality fights in Naruto. He did episode 30, Sasuke versus Orochi. Episode 48, Lee versus Gaara. Episode 71, Third Hokage versus the First and Second. And next week, he animated episode 133. He is brought in to do specific fight scenes in tons of animes, like Evangelion, Bakano, I've never seen that, Mob Psycho 100, Gurren Lagann, and Hunter x Hunter. So it sounds like this guy is like a ringer that people bring in when they want badass stuff to happen on their show.
Yeah. So it sounds like they like part of the, because we know that, so this is called Sakuga, which is when the animation quality increases drastically and noticeably for major sections of plot or action or whatever, usually for an important fight scene. And we are getting into arguably the most important fight scene in the pre-time skip Naruto story. And there's going to be a lot of glorious, glorious Sakuga coming up. And part of the reason that the quality jumps so much is that these animation studios throw more money at these sequences. And so it sounds like part of that money throwing is not just like quality of life improvements for the animators that they have on staff in general, but it's probably, you know, paying for more drawings per, you know, second of screen time or whatever, and also paying for more illustrators and perhaps I guess specialty illustrators who maybe specialize in Sakuga sequences.
Yeah, so if you want a good representation of this in American medium, you can take a look at the difference between the difference between Looney Tunes and I can't remember I think it's Warner Brothers at the same time. Well, Warner Brothers did Looney Tunes, and then there was another one that was through
like Hanna-Barbera.
Hanna-Barbera. So the difference between the two is recycled frames. You can think about it in a frame rate, like,
yes,
a camera. Well, yeah, but also Hanna-Barbera used to get out tons and tons of shows in the same time that it took to produce Looney Tunes episodes. And the reason why is because that Warner Brothers was putting in so many more frames than Hanna-Barbera was putting in, and Hanna-Barbera was doing recycled frames.
Yeah.
So that happened a lot in like early animation inside the United States, so they could churn out things faster. You can really see it when you're watching Hanna-Barbera stuff, yeah, and you start to see like those same. Yeah, and you're watching something like I think it's like Scooby-Doo. Crazy Races or something. Yeah, Scooby-Doo as well. But you'll see basically like a roller in the background where it's just like they're just rolling the same screen in the background. And then they're just laying what's actually happening is they're laying on top of that the image that they want to do inside of the frame cell. And then they are actually like rotating out the same photos back, or the same drawings back to back to make a rotating background.
Yeah, it's also it's one of the reasons you have the things like a big trope in Scooby-Doo is they will commonly have sequences in which the characters are in a chase scene and the camera is sitting static looking at a hallway with multiple doors and the characters are running in and out of the doors. And so you'll have characters, there will be like little visual gags where like a character will go in one door and then come out of another one, or you'll see different characters chasing each other who maybe shouldn't be, or maybe sometimes the monster is chasing and then being chased and stuff like that. And so it's this opportunity for kind of a fun visual comedy sequence and a lot of like little miniature gags tied to this sort of larger scene construct, but it is also a something of a product of that corner cutting. And you can see that corner cutting in a lot of anime. I would say Pokemon is a really good example because it is a long-running ongoing series, and particularly earlier, I think the newer seasons are a little bit better at this, or at least at hiding this, and partly because they changed studios in the X and Y series, but for before that, there's a lot of corners cut. There's a lot of reused footage. They'll take the characters and put them on different backgrounds. This is also why you get a lot in animation, and you see this a lot in anime. You get characters on top of backgrounds, which are just speed lines, which if you don't know, for some reason is speed lines are when you get those backgrounds that are just sort of colorful, nondescript voids with different colored lines in them. And that is often used for, you know, exclamation sequences or even action sequences where a character is rushing forward. Instead of animating the background as it moves quickly by, they will just replace it with speed lines. And that is a corner cutting measure. And it's important to note, too, that these corners being cut, in a way, you can argue that it is worse than not cutting the corners, but you can also see that it is not inherently bad. Like, speed lines aren't always terrible. They can be a corner-cutting measure, and sometimes they can be unnecessary or egregious, but sometimes they work perfectly fine. If a character is moving fast enough, speed lines do a good job of representing what's happening. And in the same way, Hanna-Barbera cartoons aren't trash. I don't particularly like them. But, things like the Flintstones and the Jetsons and Scooby-Doo are really popular, and they are not necessarily known for their animation in the way that Looney Tunes is known for having good animation, but that doesn't make them garbage. They just have a different goal. They're not trying to create the beautiful animation that Looney Tunes was explicitly trying to do. They're trying to tell stories in a different way.
Yeah. By the way, right after this, we have a very rare time where our nerddoms are going to kind of meet the people halfway inside of the anime universe, or at least the people that love kaiju inside of this universe, because there is a new set from Magic that is coming out. It is called Ikoria, Lair of Behemoths. And they did a crossover with, some of the people that made the Godzilla, the original Godzilla stuff, and some of the like big characters, like the mythic character creatures that are going to be printed in the set, have alternate arts that are going to be printed by MTG, that are just like one of them is a Godzilla stand-in, another one is a Mothra stand-in.
Awesome.
And they're doing like an actual like card with Godzilla on the front of it as an alt art.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm totally out of the loop as far as magic goes. And that is really cool. I have not been paying a lot of attention since the fairy tale set debuted. And that was a little while ago. So I'm very 2000 and late in my magic stuff, even though I still care about it and want to get involved. I just don't have anybody that I play with, and my husband is not interested. And so it kind of falls by the wayside really easily where I am right now. But that sounds awesome and very my speed in a way that the Dinosaurs and Pirates set was.
Yeah. Anyways, do you have any other news?
I was also going to just tack on before we move completely away from the quality of art discussion that I noticed multiple times while watching Yu Yu Hakusho today that it has a really high quality of art. It's definitely dated, and it's definitely got some corners being cut here and there. But if you compare it to a lot of big anime, you can see that the corners they're cutting are fewer and farther in between than a lot of comparable shows from the time period. And you can just tell that a lot of care went into this show to make it move a little more fluidly. It's got a few fewer frames. The characters move a little bit more, and it just adds a lot to the sort of visual quality of watching the show.
Yeah.
So to veer back away from the show before we jump fully in, the only bit of news I was able to come up with this week is that there is a new short from Rick and Morty, which is a little bit of a weird thing to bring up on an anime podcast, but it's worth mentioning because it's called Samurai and Shogun. It is a Rick and Morty short in which they are parodying or even just kind of homaging samurai fight sequences. And it is actually directed by a Japanese director. And it is all of the dialogue is in Japanese with subtitles. And it's about 5 minutes, and you can find it on YouTube. I watched it today. And it's fine. It's not what you would expect from Rick and Morty in that, you know, the sort of primary fare of Rick and Morty is exceedingly dark satire. And it's not, it could be called a satire of samurai movies, but it's not really funny. And there's not a lot of jokes. And the jokes that they have are pretty simple and surface level. And it's not really what you're there for. It is a samurai fight sequence. It is extremely violent and very bloody, so if you're not into that, don't watch it. And if you are looking for a super hilarious Rick and Morty sequence, it is not going to leave you satisfied. But if you like Rick and Morty in general and you want to see what they did, it is a strong anime-inspired but also just Japanese film-inspired sequence, and it's about 5 minutes. It's pretty easy to consume your sort of like random downtime in the day.
Cool. With that being said, the last bit of news that I wanted to put out there is that there is a new preview for an anime that a lot of people are super hyped about called Tower of God. I haven't watched it yet. Or I've watched the preview, but I haven't read the manga. So I'm coming into it cold, but I've been suggested by a couple of people to get like really, really hyped about it. So apparently
this is going to be exciting. Worth mentioning is that Tower of God is one of several new anime that were recently announced by Crunchyroll. And the news that kind of accompanied this announcement is that these are Crunchyroll originals. And I have not done the research to figure out what it is about that exactly that makes it special. So I'm absolutely inferring here, but what we know is that Crunchyroll is a streaming service similar to Netflix, but it is devoted to anime and anime adjacent content. And so the Crunchyroll original animes, if I could take a guess, are probably anime that are being directly bankrolled by Crunchyroll instead of just having their rights to their streaming rights purchased by Crunchyroll. Again, there were articles about this that I have not read, and so I don't know for sure, but I did get the email blast from Crunchyroll telling me that there was big news that Crunchyroll originals were coming, and, you know, putting what I know of Crunchyroll and how they interact with their industry as a streaming platform, and what I know about Netflix and Hulu and other streaming platforms creating original content, it is likely that these shows are coming from Crunchyroll rather than coming to Crunchyroll, if that makes sense.
Yeah. This is really cool, actually. So I'm reading about it really quick. It looks like Tower of God is a South Korean webtoon created and drawn by Lee Jong-hui. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Also known by the pen name SIU. It was published in 2010 as the first story in the Talse Arzur or Uzer universe, is released for free on Navier and Line Webtoon. As of February 2020, Tower of God has collected 4.5 billion views worldwide. So apparently we haven't heard about this, but a lot of other people have heard about it.
It's also, it's worth noting that this is atypical but not unheard of for an anime to be created based not on a Japanese property. This is a Korean property. You'll also see Chinese periodically. And I know that there have been some American collaborations too. Like, I know Stan Lee has some anime that Mother's Basement did a video on that recently. But most anime is adapted from or originally created by Japanese creators, but it is not super common, but not unheard of to have it coming from another country with sort of that anime aesthetic.
Yeah. Well, anyways, with that all being said, let's go ahead and jump into Yu Yu Hakusho.
All right, so Yu Yu Hakusho is a story about a kid named Yusuke. He's a junior high student or so who, at the beginning of the show, is killed in a car accident, saving a boy from dying in that same accident. Maybe because of his altruistic move, he is given the opportunity to come back to life. And after some various events, he is able to successfully become alive again. However, he finds out that now that he's gone through this ordeal, he can see things that exist as part of the spirit world. And he specifically starts noticing demonic activity around town. And the people who helped him come back to life, namely a girl named Botan, who's kind of a Grim Reaper, sort of. And a kid named Koenma, who is like an underworld deity. They have explicitly gotten him to become an agent of theirs. They sent him on a mission recently, his first mission since coming back to life, in which he faced some pretty dangerous enemies and was able to recover some powerful artifacts before they were able to be used by these demonic enemies. Now we're going to pick back up with him, kind of in medias res, with him being sent on another mission. And the only other thing you need to know is that he has a friend slash rival named Kuwabara. They are they both are sort of street toughs who are kind of like walking around getting into fights and creating territories for themselves and their gangs and stuff like that. And Yusuke and Kuwabara are some of the bigger wigs in that middle school gangland story. And they have fought many times. I'm pretty sure Yusuke has always gotten the better of Kuwabara. Kuwabara constantly yells about how he wants to fight Yusuke and how nobody can kill Yusuke but him. And when Yusuke was thought dead, Kuwabara took it really hard and came to his funeral crying and saying that he was the one who was supposed to kill Yusuke. So they talk a lot about being rivals and kind of hating on each other and only wanting to fight each other to the death. But there is a really deep affection that has been born from that rivalry that they feel for each other. And so Kuwabara may or may not also appear in these episodes. So you know, Spencer, I put the English titles in quotes, and then the Japanese titles are in parentheses.
Great. Anyways, so let's go ahead and start off with episode 9. The American version, it looks like, is The Search Begins. The Japanese version is the successor to Genkai, The Tournament Begins. So this episode, you need to know about a couple of things. One, Yusuke is being roped into going to search for this random enemy named Rando, appropriately, who is a demon who is trying to steal the technique of Genkai. Rando has already stolen 99 other psychic's abilities in the past, and now he's coming around to steal another one.
It's kind of weird, though, next because he's trying to steal it through, like, above board means, because Genkai is also explicitly looking for a successor. And he is participating in her tournament to find the successor. So he's not really stealing it so much as winning it, but you could probably infer that if she were not looking for a successor, he would be taking it through not above board means.
Yeah, but I kind of don't think that, though. I kind of think that he is going to... One of the things that he has been able to do is to pretend that he is a lowly student, learn their technique, and when he studies their technique and gets it all the way down, he then murders them with the technique. So it sounds like Rando is much more dangerous than, you know, than just somebody who just wanders up to beat people to death. And it also, it looks like from, like, when we go in to see Genkai, her like... palace or wherever she is, or like temple where she lives, is surrounded by a very powerful shield, and the only reason they can get through is because she's opened it so that people can come in.
Yeah, that's true. So the it may be that he's somewhat forced into this, and it, you know, it's it allows this tournament arc to happen. Also of note, we're watching 5 episodes today, and they begin and end this entire arc, and it's got a lot to it, actually, which is pretty impressive. The pacing in the show is fairly quick.
So the next thing that you need to know is that Yusuke is going to have a 3-day weekend, and his 3-day weekend is going to be ruined by having to do this thing with Genkai, but he is going to be completely head over heels wanting to do it after he finds out that he's got a ticket to a cage match coming if he finishes it.
Yeah, but it is, it's a pretty hard sell before that. They're like, if Rando gets this power, it could be a devastation, it could possibly end the world. And Yusuke's like, but I've got a 3-day weekend, though. And she's like, well, what if I throw in these tickets? And he's like, fine, I'll do it for the tickets.
Yeah, and the last thing that you need to know, which is my favorite dumb thing that happens in any of these episodes, is that if you catch it at one point, you'll catch a character from Street Fighter in the background. Did you notice that Zangief was in the background of one of these?
No. To be fair, I've not played a lot of Street Fighter in my day, but I do know who that is. I must have just looked away and missed it.
Yeah, so, like, if you look in the background when it's, like, it's a whole bunch of people that are surrounding this training ground, and they're all wanting to be there. By the way, like, when they first show how many people are there, it looks like it's, like, thousands of people have shown up to get Genkai's ability. And so, like, when it's panning over Kuwabara, who is there, by the way, as well, because he's heard about getting this ability from Genkai, and he wants to learn how to control his spirit power better, it just, like, randomly shows Zangief in the background, or somebody looks, like, shockingly close to Zangief.
Yeah, Kuwabara's explanation for why he's here is a really interesting explanation with a disappointing ending for me, because basically his spirit power has been awakened recently as well, and he's got a lot of it, or at least he has a really high spiritual awareness. So he sees ghosts and shit everywhere, and they can tell that he sees them, and he's tired of dealing with it. So the reason that he's here is not to learn to become stronger so that he can be stronger. It's to learn to become stronger so that he can suppress his abilities and move on with his life. And I love that, and I think that's so interesting. And then he's like, so yeah, I heard about this happening, so here I am. And I was like, but how did you hear about this? You're a middle school student, like, gang kid who lives in the middle of a big city in Japan. Like, who's going around talking about this, like, psychic, spiritual, otherworldly person on the streets of Japan that you fucking overheard? Like, this, it doesn't make any sense, but he's here, and I'm fine with it, but it's weird. Also, you can definitely tell this is the person who made Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah, absolutely. So, with that being said, the next thing that is going to happen is that they're going to draw from a big pot, a whole bunch of lots. And it turns out that these lots are going to tell you if you get to advance to the next stage or if you're just going to have to stay put.
Yeah, you're either going to pull out a white card or a red card. And did you watch the dub or the sub?
I watched the dub this time because okay. I wanted to know like if I still enjoyed the dub after watching the sub again. And I do. I think it has pretty solid.
It's pretty good. It's got some bad early dubbing tropes, but it's pretty good. I noticed something that I thought was maybe an error from the dub, but it might just be an oversight from the writing overall. And since both of us watched the dub, I guess we won't know the answer to that as far as if the sub does this too. But so Genkai holds this lottery and she introduces it as a lottery. You will get in to the rest of the tournament or not based on luck. Secretly, she thinks to herself, what is really happening is that the paper inside of the slips reacts to spirit energy. And so if you have enough, it will turn red. And this is just weeding out the people who are too weak for this.
Yeah. Some of the guys who find out that they are not strong enough are going to try to attack Genkai, by the way.
And they're hilarious. They're like, look how tall we are. That's how strong we are. Which is not like, a great care. Argument. But Genkai yes. responds to them by being like, well, you didn't have enough power. And I'm like, but you just said that nobody knew that but you. Which is well, the error that I don't know if that's true in the sub or if that's just a writing thing and they just, you know. Which is
yeah,
gloss over that.
I think at this point she's already like made everybody take their lot without knowing what's happening, so that they've already given away the game. So these people are going to advance. These two idiots are part of the people that don't advance, and she is going to throw them just with her mind powers all the way across and slam into her gate. And also, like, I noticed that her gate is all messed up now, and I'm like, okay, I guess she's just gonna be okay with that. But after that, she's like, I must be getting weak in my old age because that would have been able to kill them in the past.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's also, I will say, so I not trying to like shit on the show or anything for having that potential error in it. I just thought that was really interesting. And in light of pointing that out, I would also like to point out that this sequence of events does a really good, really quick and efficient, but not like too quick way of showing like Genkai is very powerful. She is not to be messed with. She is a like genuinely strong character. And here's how we can like show, not tell all of that information really fast while also rolling it into the plot moving forward.
Yeah. So the next thing that is going to happen is that Genkai is going to be like, hey, everybody needs to come with me. And you're going to have to travel across this this vast forest that looks super evil. And
it is.
People are like, yeah, it's super evil. And even a couple of guys are just like, nah, screw this. And they're just like, bye.
Yeah.
And
also, run off. I love how Murder Forest is just like the recurring thing.
Yeah, it's in everything.
Murder Forest happens after Video Game Day, though, doesn't it?
Murder Forest? Which one are you talking about?
They go through the forest after they do the video games. Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They do the video games first, and the games are like...
They have to play...
Let's play Rock, Paper, Scissors and punch this big thing, and also sing, I guess?
Yeah, they have three... So they go into this giant warehouse of video games, and there's all kinds of video games there. And Genkai is like, you guys are going to play three specific ones. One is that like test your strength punching game, where you punch a punching bag, it gives you a number. One is some sort of Rock, Paper, Scissors game that you probably would know if you lived in Japan, but I have personally never seen. And it seems to be some sort of like whack-a-mole type of reflexes game. And then there is also a karaoke, just like it's just karaoke, which is not so much a video game, but sure. And she's like, none of the other games you're allowed to touch. Those are for me. And so the punching one is going to test how much spiritual power you have. Rock, paper, scissors is going to test how much spiritual awareness you have. And the karaoke is going to test your wavelength. And specifically, we note that Yusuke has a lot of power and Kuwabara has a lot of awareness.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the next thing that they're going to do after they have these little games is that they're going to have to go through this forest to get to a big tree on the other side. Some of the people are going to apparently have fun going through the forest, and they're going to like attack monsters as they go through. Kuwabara is going to find apparently the non-dangerous at all route. He's
because just gonna, he has like, high awareness.
Yeah, he's going to make it there completely unscathed by the end of it, which is, I guess, great for him. Yusuke is going to be attacked by the loudest, most obnoxious voice actor I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Doing this character. I can't remember its stupid name, but anyways.
The Batman.
It's a bat beast monster, yeah. And it says its name, but I forgot it because it's so unimportant.
Yeah, they say it like twice, but... It only appears for what must be one chapter of the manga. Like, it is not relevant.
Yeah. So he's going to be completely defeated very quickly by Yusuke. Yusuke is going to predict his abilities, or he's going to predict his movements. Well, I guess it takes some time because he arrives last.
Yeah, and he says it took a while to figure him out and beat him. But yeah. What's important is that Kuwabara gets there first. However, it seems that the two of the other characters might have beaten him to it if they hadn't stopped to fight things in the forest for fun. And Yusuke makes it there last. He is the eighth person to make it there, and he technically makes it there seconds after Genkai says that time is up. And she says, I will not make an exception. And then Yusuke is like, that sucks. I met this bat dude and I beat him, but he took a lot of time. It took me a lot of time to beat him because he was really fast and annoying. And it took me a second to like get his movements down. And she is shocked that he beat him at all because he is super dangerous, I guess. And also the fact that he beat this bat with, he beat the bat. And is like not very injured and kind of is talking about it like it was no big deal. And because of these factors, she decides to break her own rules and allow Yusuke to continue, even though she just said she was not going to break the rules.
Yeah. This leads into episode 10, Kuwabara's Spirit Sword, or the much better name, Death Battle in the Dark, Kuwabara's Reke Sword.
The Japanese names are always better. But they are also always overly long, often two sentences, and sometimes include spoilers that you would not know otherwise. Yeah. Also, let me note that we just covered one of the five episodes, and they're not all going to be quite as stacked. But like I said, this is a full arc in five episodes, and it is a lot of stuff. It just happens to move really quickly. And again, it just has a quick pace.
It's efficient and great. Every one of these episodes, excellent. I really enjoyed.
You really...
This one...
You get your money's worth in this arc, because you don't have to spend a lot of time to get a lot of story.
Okay, so there are a couple of battles that are going to happen pretty quickly. They're going to announce who they are, and then after they announce who they are, there's going to be a bunch of arrows falling out of the sky in a very dramatic fashion that have their lots picked out, who and when they're going to fight. And they're going to be fighting inside of this temple that is completely dark. So the characters that have made it, by the way, are Yusuke and Kuwabara, and then a couple of characters you really don't need to know about. I didn't even think you even wrote down the names.
I skipped some names. They are all named, and there's eight of them, and the, let's see, so there's, I want to talk about the ninja guy in a second, so let's put a pin in that. So there's a ninja guy who's kind of important. There's this little guy named Shorin who has a little bit of like a chiaotzu, but chiaotzu is kind of like a doll thing, and this is like a normal human who's just kind of small, but kind of that like childlike design aesthetic to him. So there's Shorin, there's Kuzumura or whatever the ninja guy's name is, and then there's the dude that Yusuke is going to fight a little bit later. Helmet Man.
Yeah. Helmet Man.
He doesn't have a helmet on now, but he will.
Don't you know all about Helmet Man, the king of kings in the battles?
Yeah. Before we get into the fights, I want to talk about the ninja guy, because in the version that we watched, which is on Hulu and is, I think, the unedited dub and or unedited sub. And I don't think this was true if you watched Yu Yu Hakusho on TV as a kid many years ago when it was on Cartoon Network. The ninja has a swastika on his forehead. And that is weird, because this is not JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. They are not literal Nazis. And so not everybody knows this, so I just wanted to take a second to elucidate on our show that the swastika is an ancient religious symbol. It was it has appeared in a lot of religions, particularly things like Hinduism. And it is actually a pretty important symbol. I don't know if it's comparable to like the cross in Christianity or anything like that, but it shows up a lot. And there's actually a couple of different possible designs of the swastika. Unfortunately, Ninja Guy and Yu Yu Hakusho has the design that we most commonly associate with Nazism. And it's sort of a chicken egg thing. A lot of people, if they just know the swastika from sort of modern pop culture, they know it as the symbol of the Nazis, and they don't realize that the Nazis got it from somewhere else. And that is because the swastika was adopted by the Nazi Party in Germany because it had come to symbolize like prosperity. And that was what they were putting forward, was like, if you're like super nationalistic and all about Germany and nobody else, and if you maybe buy into this like bullshit racism that we're peddling, then we will have prosperity. And so they kind of co-opted this symbol and have consequently corrupted it for future people. But I thought it was important to point it out because I used to not know that. And I saw a swastika in like some Digimon art or something like that. And I was like, that's fucked up. Why is that there? It doesn't make any sense. And that's because It's not Nazi swastika. It's like Hindu deity swastika. And that's what this guy is. It is just a religious symbol. And it does not mean that other thing. But if you didn't know that, you might have been turned off by this dude. And so there you go. He's not a Nazi. There's a lot of other options for swastikas.
Yeah, let's just call him Swasta Ninja. Swasta Ninja is going to get into a fight with a guy who has two knives. He also at one point Ginka's like, you young man, and I was like, if you look at this guy, he's like definitely in his mid-50s who is having like a midlife crisis. But this guy is supposed to be a murderer, and
he's a mercenary. He's a hired killer.
Yeah,
the other guy, but not like for fun.
Yeah, the other guy, Swasta Ninja, is going to be a bodyguard.
Saitama Shippuden 1.0.
He's gonna get into a fight really quickly with this guy who has these two knives, and two knife guy is going to fall at the power that Swasta Ninja has, which is basically the same ability that Yusuke has, but in a different form. He can shoot out a bunch of energy from his palm, and he blasts away this guy that's trying to attack him.
Yeah, I don't know if I said this earlier, but Yusuke's ability is the spirit gun, where he blasts energy in a ball from his finger, and he currently can only do that once a day.
Yeah. Then we have a fight between a character that I wanted to see fight and this other little idiot who is going to become Shorin, but he'll be important later. Don't worry about him right now. Instead,
or maybe he won't. There's a mystery. Who knows?
He's going to defeat this guy immediately in the dark, and we're not going to see any of it except for we get to hear that Genkai and Kuwabara saw all of it, and it's just like, great. I'm so glad that the creator of Hunter x Hunter is hiding fights from me again.
Yeah.
So then,
don't you know this is about the story, you fool, not the fights.
The next fight is going to be great. It is between Kuwabara and a samurai that has a eye patch on, so let's call him the pirate samurai.
Pirate samurai, definitely.
Yeah, so first thing that we're going to find out about him is that he can punch super fast, and he keeps on hitting Kuwabara, but apparently his punches don't hurt really bad, and then he's going to pull out his sword and use his like spirit energy around his sword so that it becomes more powerful.
It's and a wooden sword, but it was made from an ancient oak and washed in like holy water, so it conducts spirit energy real well.
Yeah, so he's going to use this ability to strike down at Kuwabara, and it turns into one of my favorite moments. Kuwabara will become more powerful
than you could ever imagine.
One of my favorite moments that happens inside of this is that he's just like, it's perfect for striking down evil, and Kuwabara's just like, hey, don't hit me with that, I'm not evil.
It's pretty great. Anyways. Kuwabara's going to block the blow, and basically is able to not sustain a serious injury because he has enough spirit power to sort of counteract the attack. The tip of the sword is also going to break off, and Kuwabara is going to pick it up, hoping for something to defend himself, and it's the only thing he can find, so he picks that up. And that is going to turn out to be quite a happy accident. This is the first of many happy accidents in this series of episodes. This is a real serendipitous time for these characters.
Yeah. So Kuwabara is going to pick this up, and he is going to be attacked again with that same attack. This time he thinks he is going to die, so he manifests his spirit energy into a spirit sword out of the tip of this broken wooden sword that they picks up.
Absolutely use the lightsaber sound effect for this too.
Yeah, it's going to stop this guy's ability, and he's going to be able to counter this attack and throw this guy into the wall and win the fight. That leads into Yusuke's fight. Yusuke is fighting against this guy who he reminded me of, and I think he might have the same voice actor as Yamcha from DBZ. And I was just like, oh, and I was expecting him to like go into the fight and start using Wolf Fang Fist, but whatever.
He's a little bit of a thicker build. He's like Yamcha if he was like much older and had like really worked out a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas Yamcha's like slimmer and quicker. This guy also is going to put on his special helmet that he made. Because again, if you remember, all of these fights are taking place in the dark. And it is pitch black so that you can only see using your spirit energy, essentially. And Yusuke is really bad at this. He has a lot of power, but he doesn't have a lot of awareness, which is what you need. And this guy kind of also doesn't, but he has this chidi-chidi helmet that does sensory deprivation. It covers his mouth, not his mouth, it covers his nose, his ears, and his eyes. So he can't see, he can't hear, he can't smell. And by locking down those senses, he's able to focus in his other senses, and specifically his spiritual awareness. There's also like a pinpoint laser sight kind of thing on there that's supposed to help focus his spiritual awareness as well. And Yusuke, I think, explicitly calls him out for cheating. And Genkai's basically like, he made it himself, so it's totally above board because of the purpose of this competition, so just deal with it.
Yeah, so that leads into episode 11, Hard Fights for Yusuke. Yusuke's Hard Battle, a bruised and bloody counterattack. So this episode is really interesting in the second part of the fight, but in the first part of the fight, I found it super boring.
Really?
It's just Yusuke just getting completely berated by this guy. Every time he thinks that he's going to be able to attack him again, he just gets punched a whole bunch of different times. And this character, you think he's going to have a really badass ability, but his ability is just to make one of his arms get real big, and then he just runs it into Yusuke or punches him really hard.
Yeah, he has the most basic partial expansion jutsu, and he doesn't use it super well. Or maybe Yusuke is just that tough, but yeah, it is... It's undercut a little bit by how little effect that it has on the fight.
Yeah.
Yusuke is going to take the opportunity to grab onto this dude's arm after being beaten up a little while because he cannot see. But if he can grab this guy after he gets punched, then he will know where he is. And that doesn't work out super well because the guy just beats up Yusuke some more and knocks him away. But it turns out to have been a ruse, and Yusuke has gotten the upper hand.
Yeah, the only reason that Yusuke is able to hit him with his spirit gun is because he has planted a cigarette that Genkai was smoking earlier and she threw into the dark. He is able to pick it up, still burning with a little bit of ember. He planted it on this character that was fighting against him during one of his attacks where he did judo on him, and he is able to shoot him in the face with a spirit gun, which takes him out, and that leads into our next fight, which thankfully is no longer inside of this dark room, because Yusuke would obviously just get completely destroyed. Instead, they take him, Genkai takes them all out to their to her wonderful field in the back. It's where she likes to have long walks, and oh yeah, it was the scene of one of the most horrible battles in all of their history, and it is still horribly haunted. And when Kuwabara walks up, he's like, I'm seeing some things, you guys, that I wish I had never seen.
Yeah, the good news for the characters is that this is a great place to have battles that are about testing your spirit energy against each other, because since this area is so haunted, it is full of spirit energy, and so you charge up real quick. And that is one of the reasons why she wants to have the fights there. It's also super lucky for Yusuke because he has taken a lot of hits in this fight that just ended, and he is next in the semifinals. And he was pretty pissed about it when they were in the dark room, but because they had to travel for a few minutes to get here, and because there's so much spirit energy, he's feeling well enough, and he's able to go into this fight, and he is going to fight against Swasta Ninja. And Swasta Ninja is going to, similarly to the other guy that Yusuke just fought, absolutely get a complete upper hand over Yusuke immediately and keep it for the entire fight.
Yeah. So what this character is going to do, which is a pretty cool ability, is that he's going to focus his, I want to say chakra, but it's not, his spirit energy into these throwing stars that he's going to throw at Yusuke. They're going to track Yusuke's spirit energy, and they're going to chase him around. Yusuke takes this time to be like, okay, if I'm going to get hit by these things, I might as well try to dodge them and get them to stick into something else. And so he runs behind a tree. Then it is revealed that these have explosives inside of them. And so that tree explodes and it hurts Yusuke. So Yusuke's like, okay, so if I'm going to do this, I need to just go out with a bang and actually stop Rando, because it must be stopped. And he just assumes that Swasta Ninja is Rando.
Yeah, because Swasta Ninja is using a technique that will hunt you down and explode you. And they're like, that seems pretty demonic to me.
Yeah. So he's going to run at Rando, and right before Rando takes this hit from Yusuke, he is going to charge up a blast and knock Yusuke away. But while he's charging it up, Yusuke is going to suddenly disappear right in front of him. And he is going to shoot his blast at his throwing stars, which are coming back. They're going to cause an explosion, which is going to knock him out. It turns out that Yusuke did not disappear of his own volition, though. He turned out to just fall into a mud hole that was ironically right in front of this character, which is going to be one more time where Yusuke is going to get very lucky randomly. So that happens.
I thought the Kuwabara thing was pretty cool. He picks up a piece of a wooden sword that was explicitly created to help channel spirit energy. And that is the missing piece that he needed, but he didn't pick it up for that reason. He was just picking it up because he needed something to defend himself, and that was the only option. And it worked out really well in his favor, and now he has a dope-ass new ability that he can use.
Yeah.
Yusuke's serendipitous win is not as satisfying, and honestly, it is a little frustrating in a fight otherwise that was pretty interesting. And with a character who, he has not been shown to be particularly clever, I'll give them that. But he is resourceful in a pinch, and really, you know, doggedly focused on his victory. And so to have this be just a complete ass pull fluke is a bit of a bummer, and it will not be the last similar bummer of this sequence of events.
Yeah, so the next episode is going to be, it's kind of interesting, but it's an episode that really has like three moments in it.
Yeah.
And filled with some fluff. So this is episode 12.
It's not fluff if you're watching it necessarily, but it is fluff if you're trying to discuss it.
Yeah, so this is episode 12, which ironically has the best translated American to Japanese to American name, which is Rando Rises, Kuwabara Falls, or Rando Appears, Kuwabara's Grievous Defeat.
Yeah, basically the same thing.
Yeah, anyways. So Kuwabara and Shorin are going to get into a fight. Kuwabara is beating the hell out of Shorin.
Spencer, wait a second. I thought you said that Swastika Ninja was Rando. What's going on?
Yeah, so it turns out that Shorin is an important character. He's living in a ruse. We'll find out about it in a minute. So Shorin is just going
to get
he's going to get beaten the hell up. And then he's going to reveal that he has different abilities. He starts to reveal these, and as he starts to reveal them, Genkai is like, I'm onto what's happening here.
Yeah.
So
she's nobody's fool.
The first one that he uses is this like fireball technique, which is just creating fireballs and shooting them. So Kuwabara is able to knock those back with his spirit sword. Afterwards he's just like, this is nothing compared to baseball.
And what's great about this fight is that at every turn, Kuwabara is winning. And Kuwabara is beating the shit out of Shorin. And then Shorin will pull away and he'll be like, well, I have this new technique. And Kuwabara will instantly counter it. And it's basically a curb stomp battle. And it goes with the theme of, like, we don't know who Rando is. And it must be Shorin because he's the last one standing. And then they're like, well, he's losing really badly to Kuwabara. Maybe Rando was, like, disguised as one of the dudes who lost earlier and we just didn't realize it.
Yeah, but it turns out he can use a really crazy powerful technique. This technique is able to shrink your opponent with a curse into a tiny form, so you can just pick them up. And he does this and just breaks Kuwabara's arm and his ribs. And Genkai is just like, okay, he's had enough. And he throws him down on the ground and releases it.
It's a long sequence. Like, he doesn't break them real quick. He delights in torturing and dragging this out. And, like, says several things about, like, I want to see how shrunken bones react when pressure is applied and how much it takes to break them and shit. Like, he is completely sadistic.
Yeah. So, after he takes out Kuwabara, Yusuke is going to get into the fight. Yusuke is going to soundly beat Shorin very quickly. And Shorin is going to think that he has the upper hand by using this ability that uses wind to pull air out of people's wounds. And it's going to hit Yusuke a couple of times, but Yusuke is just like, screw that. I'm just going to jump through it. So he jumps through this attack and lands this crazy blow where he like crosses his arms and slams Shorin down to the earth, which you would think would break his neck. But it turns out he's actually Rando. And he's like, I'm going to show my true form. And my favorite thing about this is that instead of showing him, like, turning into Rando, instead the ground falls away. And then he's so powerful that it starts to, like, open up the earth like he's a demon coming up from hell.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's a great really effect. Kind
of like, ooh.
It's also a clever cutting of corners.
Yeah. Anyways, this leads into episode 13. This is Yusuke versus Rando 99 attacks, Yusuke versus Rando sorcery thrown into chaos, which are two very different things.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably the Japanese version is a little more accurate, but these are both kind of misnomers. Really, the Yusuke versus Rando thing is correct, and everything else is just sort of like, yeah, sort of.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, Rando transforms, and he is the most basic looking anime dude with just a tattoo to set him apart. And I think maybe he wasn't so basic looking when he debuted, but nowadays you're like, that's Rando.
He sure is Rando. Anyways, so this is going to be a relatively quick fight. Yusuke has used up a lot of his strength in order to try to defeat defeat Shorin before he turned into anything else. He's Shorin. But he is going to quickly use up all the spirit energy that he has recovered, and go down. And Shorin is going to, or Rando, as he's been revealed, is going to take the upper hand. He's going to wrap Yusuke up inside of like the spirit web and just start throwing him into different things.
Yeah, he has proto bungee gum.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
you can see all the Genkai pieces of Hunter x Hunter falling into place.
Meanwhile, Genkai is just like, Botan is just like, you're not going to let this happen, are you? And Genkai is just like, somebody's got to learn it.
Yeah, her argument sort of sucks, but it makes a certain sense, which is essentially, I have developed a technique that is of value to the world. It must be carried forth. And I agree, it shouldn't be carried forth by someone evil who will use it for evil, like Rando. But someday, someone will come along and take that technique from him, and the technique will have survived, and that's worth it. And that is her argument. Later on, she will decide that that is maybe not the best course of action when Rando reveals just how evil he is. She's like, I don't know, but she's not going to stop the fight anyways.
Yeah. So it turns out that Rando is just like, I'm not done. I could kill you right now if I wanted to, but instead I'm going to summon a whole bunch of evil fish underneath you and hang you from a tree.
Evil fish.
Google gabble, Google gabble. So the next thing that Rando is going to do is summon a pocket-sized monster demon and be like, look, I'll throw him in to die. And he throws him in, and before the demon goes in there, he's just like, everything is going to be, and then he's just like in the water and being destroyed by this fish.
Yeah, this is the, let me show you how dangerous my power is, but there's no other way to injure you in a way that would show how dangerous this is, so we're going to bring in a third party red shirt motherfucker and kill them real quick so we all know the score.
Yeah, so if you're unfamiliar with this, just think of this character as every Bond villain. He is going to, like, Dr. Evil his way through this moment, and he's going to be like, and just so you know, I'm going to shoot you off this tree with your own ability, and he shows that he's learned the spirit gun after seeing it one time. He is going to shoot it away from Yusuke. Yusuke is going to be like, oh god, and then Yusuke is going to be shot off the tree. He falls into the water with the demon fish, and before he dies, Kuwabara's soul literally leaves his body and comes down to insult Yusuke. And
this Yusuke was just shocking. Like, I was like, Kuwabara is not dead, and I know for a fact.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He figures it out.
Yeah. My favorite part about it is that Kuwabara, like, he comes down there and you think he's going to, like, give him life force or something. But instead he just, like, gets into Yusuke's head and he's just like, hey, you're an idiot. And Yusuke's just like, screw you, Kuwabara.
Like, you're going to die to some fucking fish.
And so Yusuke escapes from that.
With a super energy explosion that shocks even Rando.
Yeah, so he is going to pop up from a different hole after Rando shoots into this hole trying
to kill him. There's always another hole.
Yeah, and he shoots Rando with the spirit gun. It hurts Rando a lot, even though Rando tries to counter it with his own spirit gun. Yusuke uses all of his energy, though, and he is completely, completely worn out. And Rando is still is able to get up. He's coming over, and he's just like, I don't have much ability to fight and kill you now, but I can still use my chant. He tries to use his chant on Yusuke, but it turns out that Yusuke got lucky again.
Yeah. So the chant should make Yusuke shrink down. Instead, Rando shrinks, and Genkai steps in and is like, oh, well, when you create a spell like that, it has to affect somebody, and if it can't affect the target, it will find a new target, and you are the target. And Rando's like, fuck you, I said it to Yusuke, and he's right there, why didn't it work? And then Yusuke pulls some, like, algae or, like, muddy whatever the shit from when he fell into the water earlier out of his ears. And they do like, absolutely foreshadow this just a little bit by him saying that he is so injured he can't hear Rando quite right. But this is not great. Like, he is surprised to find the muck in his ears, but he has had it there for a little while. And I don't know if you've ever gotten, like, a drop of water in your ear canal during a shower or something like that, but that shit makes itself known. Yeah. You are not surprised to find it in your ears. Like, how dirty are Yusuke's ears that he doesn't know this is in there affecting his fucking hearing? So I hate how lucky he is twice. Like, the last two fights he wins completely on accident. and mm-hmm. the enemy kills themselves because Yusuke gets lucky in a way that is unbelievable. Yeah. But I will say that I love the explanation of why the spell rebounds, which is when you say a spell like this, it must be heard to take effect. And when you say it, it must take effect. So because he couldn't hear you, he couldn't be affected by it. And because you caused the spell to happen, it has to happen to someone. And so it happened to you. And also, this just goes to show that you killing all these people and stealing their techniques is some bullshit, because you didn't take the time to learn them properly and respect them. You just stole their abilities and started using them, and you don't deserve to have them because you don't know how to use them correctly.
Yeah. So Yusuke is going to be like, I can't punch you or step on you, but I could certainly fall on you. And then he falls forward and he like has enough energy to lift up his elbow and like elbow drops him. And so that's how Rando is defeated.
Basically, and he makes a joke like about a that's like my super crashing elbow technique or something like that. Just pretty good. Pretty good joke.
Yeah, so this leads to the end of the episodes where Kuwabara is healed by Genkai, who uses her ability to heal him. And then we find out that this Yusuke also can't even...
This impresses Yusuke a lot.
He wants to go.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that technique's pretty dope. All right, well, see ya.
Yeah, and Genkai's like, no, you're going to have to stay here for the next like 6 months, I think.
Yeah. And Yusuke's like, that's a great promise, but I actually have a cage fight to get to.
And she's like, no, I don't think you understand. You must stay. And he's just like, oh, dang it.
This
and
then, is non-negotiable.
And then we leave on a dumb joke about how Kuenma has been too distracted by all of this to do his paperwork.
Oh, and yeah, there's been all kinds of stuff with Kuenma going on that we have ignored because it is not relevant at all.
Yeah, Kuenma is just the peanut gallery that is not important at this moment. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't think it's filler either. It's just comedic relief that doesn't add to the story, and so we ignored it.
Yeah, so that leads us to the end of our coverage for this week. Stick with us after these credits, and we'll talk about
what's going to happen next time. What's next? Oh.
Shut up.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions.
With sound editing done by Rashad English of Plain English Productions.
He's our level 6 sound wizard.
Level up. Our podcast is ad-free, and we want to keep it that way. If you want to keep it that way, too, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BandsGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/GetJumped.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New episodes come out every Sunday.
On iTunes.
Google Play.
Stitcher.
Buzzsprout.
Or wherever you get your podcast from.
And hey, thanks for listening. Next time on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, we're watching Hunter x Hunter episodes 112 through 116, where the battle in the palace begins. Komugi is injured. Shoot and Knuckle are going to start fighting Yuppie. Morel is going to square off against Shyapoof.
Hold on.
Wait, there's more.
Do you ever realize that the names inside of Hunter x Hunter are just completely ridiculous? In the span of two sentences, you said Komugi, Shoot, Knuckle, Yuppie, Morel, and Poof.
Well, it's actually Metutu Yuppie, but I shortened it for the, you know, the sake of argument.
It's just... There's more. It's just... There's more. Sometimes I sit back and I listen to what is being read off, and I'm just like, this is what we're doing with our time.
This is why we started this. This is why we're here.